Isn't our God amazing? Take a minute and think about that, what we just got through singing and what the real Christmas story is all about. I mean, just, it's figure out how I want to say this. I think the most amazing thing, I'm amazed at in awe and wonder of God. And I pray every day. I don't know about you, but as you get older, it seems like you just sometimes lose that awe and wonder of who God is. We let all this dark things around us, they seem to attach to us, and they seem to try to take away our childlikeness. Have you ever seen a child at Christmas time? With their anticipation, with their just eyes wide open at all of the things that they anticipate. When did we lose that about the coming of Jesus Christ? I mean, their anticipation of little things that burn up and fade away. We were in anticipation. We're still in anticipation. We still have to work to put him above our material things. And we come in great anticipation of all of these things we get and gather that at the end will fade away and melt away and burn up, he says, like hay and stubble. When was the last time when we got the awe and wonder of the gift that does not go away? The gift of Jesus Christ. And what I'm even more in awe and wonder of is that in God's plan of bringing salvation to the world, he lets really goofy, stupid people like me participate. I'm talking about you too, so don't just look at me. But isn't that amazing that God chose the way that he chose to use each one of us in his plan? We look on today on this girl named Mary. And God's plan coming to life through her. And God's plan is coming to life through you. From the beginning of time, God began his plan of redemption for the world. And you know that you play a part in that. But you have to choose to play that part. God is wanting to use you in his plan for that. But we have to step into that. And some days... I began my first message with just talking about one of my greatest struggles in life, I don't know about you, is the mundaneness of every day. That's what's so great about Christmas to so many people is we see the lights and all of these things change. We have brightness now, right? Because we have this darkness, we seem like this dark for the rest of the year. And then we put these artificial lights up and they light all of our life and they seem so beautiful and they bring all of these things. But then what happens after Christmas is over? The lights turn off and it all becomes dark again. And we go back to what I struggle with the most in my life. I don't struggle with the trials and tribulations as much as I do with the everyday mundaneness of life. Does anybody else in here struggle with finding purpose in the mundaneness of every day? But when we come to the story of Christ, we began to look at when it happened. I began to realize that all of us long to hear from God. I don't know about you, but I want to hear from God. But even though God may be silent, he is not inactive. And I want to encourage anybody in here today that's going through something and you long to hear from God, that you just... I have those days that I just cry out to God because I want to hear his voice. I want to hear from God. And I talked about this last week, and Gerald and a young man came up to me after the message, and he reminded me, he said, "Brian, I just want to tell you that the teacher doesn't always speak during the test." We had 400 years from the last time that God spoke to his people. And I'm encouraged in that time period sometimes of what the Bible does not say. It didn't say anything about those people in the intertestamental period unless you read the book of Apocrypha and read the historical facts in there. But what were they doing? What was Mary doing? What was Elizabeth doing? You know what they were doing? They were being faithful in their everyday living. And that's what he calls us to be, to find purpose in my everyday living for Christ. What did he tell John the Baptist that he was going to do? He was going to prepare a people for who? For the Lord. And that's what he is continuing to do. He was preparing Mary through her parents. He was preparing Elizabeth and Zacharias, and he prepared us and me and you to make a way for the Lord. That's what the church is, right? And what does that mean? He's preparing the day of the Lord, preparing for the Lord. He's preparing each one of us to meet him. What is your purpose as a church? To be prepared to meet him and to prepare others to meet Christ. Everybody in here, everyone you know, everyone you've ever known, everybody who has passed, everybody who will pass, we will all pass, will meet Jesus Christ. And we have to get to preparing the way for them to meet him. Even in the dark times, even in the quiet times, even in the times when we don't hear God speaking, we continue to be prepared to meet him and prepare those around us. There's so much to do. Today we pick up again in Luke chapter 1. And in those quiet times, and in the darkness around us, when those lights go out and we've seen this darkness around us. You know what's so amazing also about this story? Is it reminds me we're in the same time as they were then. They were in a very dark time. They were being ruled by oppressors. There was all of these crazy things going on all around them, and they had felt like, anybody know how that feels? Felt like God had just become silent. And I'm sure they were asking, Lord, where do you see what's going on around with your people? Where are you, Lord? But all that time, he is working and he is preparing a people to be ready for his coming. That's what Christmas is Advent season. That means his coming. And the reason I'm telling you is that because are you prepared for his coming? He is coming back. He promised. Why? Because he promised. He promised these. We're going to see that Mary took those promises. Why? Because she knew the Word of God, and she trusted the Word of God, and she believed in the Word of God. And he said that he was going to send the Messiah. He also tells us Christ himself now tells us that I am coming back. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet him? Right now we are going through things, and that's the part of our message is we will go through things I don't understand, but God provides hope in that waiting, in that darkness, with all of these things going on around us that we don't understand. The one thing that Christians should have that others don't is hope. My hope is in Christ. My hope is not in Christmas, what we've made it. My hope is in Christ. And some days I get that wrong. Believe me, I stand up here and tell you. Some days I put my hope in false things. And Christ reminds me that they need to be in him alone. So now we pick up the story about Mary. And just take a minute and think about that. Who Mary is. You know, I ended my last message with talking about how the beautiful trees. You know, I just love the color of the trees in October. We see all these pretty trees, but you know what's so amazing? Is we don't see the beauty in those trees until God brings them out. It's within each of the trees. But you know what really reminded me last time, too? We sat out here and we looked across the outside of the church, and you see all those. You know what makes the beauty of the color stands out? Is just the plain green ones around it. Some days we got to be good at just being the plain green trees and bringing out the beauty of Christ
around us. It's not our job to be beautiful. It's our job to bring the beauty of Christ out. And Mary, she was a green tree, doing what she was supposed to be doing, rooted in God, rooted in His Word. We know that because she didn't react crazy like, you're going to do what? You're going to do who? She knew the prophecies of Isaiah, that he will be born of a virgin. That's why barrenness back then was so difficult, was such a curse, they believed, because they did not have a chance to bear the Messiah. And let me tell you something real quickly in here too, is anybody that may be struggling with feeling barren, anybody that may be trying to have a child and can't have a child, did you know that each of the patriarchs' wives, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, did you know that each of their wives were barren until God spoke? Until God broke in and changed that. Never give up hope. God, He told Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God. So now Mary arose in those days. We just saw last week as Daryl spoke so powerfully about Gabriel coming and he's speaking to Mary, this young, probably teenager, who is engaged to a man. And back then, an engagement meant so much more than it does now. That was, they were practically married, they just had not consummated the marriage. If they wanted to break it off, they had to have a certificate of divorce, even at the engagement. And now Mary arose in those days after she's been told that she is going to have, so we've been told some pretty powerful things in your life, right? But just kind of take this as what Mary's taking. She is in her room and this angel comes. We don't know exactly what Gabriel looked like. But he came and he spoke to her and told her, just like we heard on that song, talking about carrying a burden, as Nikki said, you are going to have, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Mary knew who that was. I don't think she knew the whole fulfillment of what was going to happen and who he was going to be, but she knew he was the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. And she was going to be called to carry him, to be faithful in carrying those. And we are called to be faithful in carrying Christ to a dying world. We are called with the same burden, not physically, but spiritually now, to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, each one of us. We see in Zechariah, we see in Mary, it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, God has a purpose for you. And God can use you in mighty ways. Now Mary arose in those days, she's just got this news, and she's not sure what to do with these news, and went into the hill country with haste. She went about 80 miles, 80 to 100 miles, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Why did she go see her cousin Elizabeth? If we see a few verses before, Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, let her know that her cousin Elizabeth, even in her old age, was going to conceive. He let her know that the miracle that he was doing in her, there was also another miracle going to happen, and the whole prophecy was going to come to fruition. So she goes, and what does she do? She went to someone who could understand her. I don't think she was going to go to Joseph first and go tell him, oh, by the way, Joseph. Now, men, put yourself in Joseph. We got to have a message about poor Joseph because he really just gets a bad rap. He just kind of gets thrown. It's all about Mary, and it's all about, and then here's just Joseph. Nobody knows very little about him except what? He was a carpenter. But try that. Go home and say, well, you see what really happened was. It was this angel guy. Yeah, this, I don't think it would have worked. So she's coming, and God has placed also someone in her life that understands her. And that's the message, the first point today, is hope from people who share a similar experience. Like Mary, we can have that. So she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, who she knew was going to have a miraculous conception as well. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaked in her womb. Did anybody listen to Celeste and see what her first question was? What was her question?
Wow, y'all have already forgotten the question, and that was 2 minutes ago, and I expect y'all to hear any of this message today. When was the first time that John the Baptist met Jesus? So many people are going to answer out in the desert when he came, and he says, look, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. No, we see right now. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. I just want to talk 1 second about, this is one of my favorite people in the Bible, is John the Baptist. And it reminds me, because what did he say about John the Baptist? I'll get right back here. He said he is going to be great in what? In the sight of the Lord. Great in the sight of the Lord. Have you ever seen any movie portrayal of John the Baptist that doesn't make him out to be just a kooky, nutty person? If you have, tell me, and I would love to see it. You ever seen The Chosen? Any movie about, and it shows John the Baptist and his hair is all greasy and he's all crazy looking and he's wild-eyed. You know what? Stop worrying so much about what the world thinks of you and be great for the Lord, is what he's telling us. Be great in the sight of the Lord. That's what we have to get over, this worrying about being great in the sight of others. John didn't care. And what did Christ call him? This crazy, mad-looking man that the world looked down upon and thought he was crazy. Who did Christ say he was? He says, of women born, no one is greater than John the Baptist. And then he took it a further, just a second, to remind you of who you are. He said, but he is not as good as the least of those in heaven. When we receive Christ, we are great in the sight of the Lord. That the babe leaped in her womb. And this also reminds us of the time of conception. We have this thing about abortion. People argue about, no, he's not alive yet. Well, let me tell you about, how did it know? How did John the Baptist, how did the babe know? It was about 6 months inside of Elizabeth's womb. It leaped. It's telling me that it's alive. Christ was just conceived. Christ was alive. They're alive at conception, period. No argument about it. There is no argument about that. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So we look back, we have hope from people who share a similar experience. That's why we come to Christ. That's why God allows you to go through so many things. Have you noticed that? When you go through something that you think you're the only one going through this, God always brings someone else into your life that they have gone through or are going through the same thing. Isn't God amazing as that? And God will use your trials and tribulations and victories to encourage others who are going through that. And number three is we seek encouragement from people who care. That's what this place is all about. It's to lift each other up, to encourage each other, to care about each other. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, I said this in the first service, when she was filled with the Holy Spirit, then she spoke out with a loud voice. When we are filled with God's Spirit, and you know what that means? That we are all filled with Christ's Spirit. We are filled with Christ when we receive Christ. And he's telling us to what? To speak out with a loud voice. Christ told us, shout it from the mountain. How many of you have shouted the gospel from the mountaintops? Of course we don't. Why? Because people might hear. Because they may look at me like I'm nutty John the Baptist. Well, when I stand before Christ, he's going to ask, did you shout from the mountaintops? And I was like, no, Lord, gosh, I would have disturbed somebody. I may have upset somebody. I may have had somebody look like I was that guy over there. He says, speak out with a loud voice. Blessed are you among women. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we see in Matthew 16 where Peter was asked, who do you say I am? And believe me, Christ is going to ask every person in here. Who do you? Don't worry about what somebody else says about right now. Who do you say he is? And Peter says, you are the Christ. Because they were asking, who was all these people saying? And Peter said, you are the Christ. And he said, my Father has revealed that to you. We see that with Elizabeth, that the Holy Spirit, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she began to speak because God had revealed that to who was in Mary's womb. Mary didn't come. We don't see where she came and told her all of these things that happened. We just see that she went into the house. And when she heard it, she knew that the Spirit was in her, and she knew why her baby was leaping, because she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me? That's a question that I will wrestle with for the rest of my life. Do you really know what treasure you have been given? Truly, no. When was the last time we really stepped back and had that awe and wonder of the Christmas story, of the real story of Jesus Christ? But why is this granted to me? Everybody in here, God has called you. Christ has called you to him. And it's up to you to respond. But he died for you, and he paid the price for you. And we should ask that question, the same thing, that he even wants to come and be closer than Mary and Elizabeth were. He wants to come and be so close to you, to spiritually, to live inside of you. And we should ask that, but Lord, why is this granted to me? And you know what the answer is? Because I love you. That's what the answer God will tell you. Because there was no other way. And I love you so dearly that I am willing to do whatever it takes that you may spend eternity with your Father in heaven. He says, why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That's what we should be doing. We should be leaping for joy. John the Baptist knew who Christ was. I think we've lost who Christ is. We become a bunch of wimpy Christians. There's no nicer way to say it. I ended my message last week, and Gerald, that it really breaks my heart, and I see it in my own life. You know one of the greatest things that escapes Christians is joy. Why do we not have full joy? Because we have a half love for Christ. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not talking about that. I struggle with myself trying to not place things above Christ. He will not let me have his full joy when other things are in his way. He says, I am the one that brings you joy. I am the one that brings you salvation. I am the one that fulfills your life and brings you purpose. I alone is what he says. And when you try to fill it with all of these other things, your joy is not there. Because we try to place worldly happiness on the same context as the joy that Christ brings. We should be like John the Baptist, even when he was a little babe. The babe leaped in my womb for joy. That's why Christ tells us to come as him to little as little children. When we have that awe and wonder of little things, and this joy of that comes to us. And then it says, blessed is she who believed. That's something else we can listen to ourselves. Blessed is she, what? Who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. He's telling us too, blessed are we who believe. Blessed are we who believe. Now we got to stop and just look at the word blessed. So many of us have taken, and I grew up thinking of that too. We're thinking of blessings as this material wealth being poured out on us. Oh, I'm so blessed. He didn't say, Mary, I'm going to make you really rich. No, Mary was a peasant girl. Was a nobody. You know what? If Christ was not born to Mary, who would have known? Does anybody know what Mary's grandparents' names were? Does anybody know what Mary's parents' name were? Now, they have a legend that the rabbi said what their parents' names were, but we don't know for sure. Without Christ,
It's not material things that we are blessed. We are blessed by the life of Christ within us. We are blessed by the knowing of Christ. And blessed is a word that means a full contentment, a full joy, an overwhelming, expressible joy. It doesn't mean to just get things. Everyone who has received Christ is so blessed. My wife reminds me of that. I catch myself sometimes looking around me at these little things, and I think, oh, Lord, I'm so blessed. And my wife reminds me of, be careful of looking at the shiny things. Blessed is she who believed, and that's us. We should realize that we are blessed. Why? Because we believe that there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And we even have greater things that have been told us, have been promised to us. They had been promising Israel that a Messiah would come. And now we see those who believe in God's word that he has come. And he has promised us that he will what? That he will return. We are blessed, those who believe. Do you believe? That's the question. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. I pray today that you leave encouraged today that there is going to be a fulfillment, that Christ without a doubt is coming back. Amen. And I don't know about you, but it sure feels like it's going to be soon. Because we watch, like I say, in the Old Testament, between the Testaments, we see all of these things, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting and thinking, Lord, and we're at the same place. We're waiting and waiting, but Christ tells us over and over, please be ready, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. We have been told from the Lord, and they will be fulfilled. And now we find that comfort, even in these things that we don't understand. I'm sure Mary is just standing here trying to take all of this in as Elizabeth is telling her all of these things. Of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. That means I lift the name of God on high. She had no understanding of what's going on. I'm sure we think about Mary and this great thing. Mary was a teenager, peasant girl, who was probably terrified. I have no idea what this is going to really look like. I have to go back and tell my husband. I have to go back and face a community that could have me stoned for what has just taken place. My husband can divorce me. He can have me stoned. And then what is this going to look like? I don't know about you, but so many women, and I worry about being a good dad to my kids, and I know ladies are so concerned about being a good mom to their child. Can you think what it meant like to know that I'm going to bear the Savior of the world? I'm going to bear the Son of God. Can you imagine what was upon her when she's really, truly beginning to think of that? We forget about what's probably going through Mary's mind. But what does she say in that time, even in the time of distress, even in the time of not understanding, we should take the position as she does, and we should praise God in all things. That doesn't mean we understand. That doesn't mean I'm, oh, Lord, thank you for this terrible situation. No, but I praise God in this situation. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. That means I lift him up in my life, and my spirit has rejoiced in God. Who is he? My Savior. We see this as Mary. We hold Mary in reverence. But we have to be careful about the people who hold Mary above Christ. Mary was not a sinless person after this. It tells us right there, because she says, rejoiced in God, who? My Savior. If she was sinless and perfect, she wouldn't have needed a Savior.
she knew even then what Christ's position was, that God was her Savior. We cannot be saved on our own. We need a Savior. And she said, my spirit has rejoiced, and we should take that. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In all of these things, in all of my sinful ways, Christ has saved me. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maid servant. He regards your lowly state. I know that, oh, this preacher's walking out here telling me I'm in a lowly state. Now, what did Christ say on the cross? He says, forgive them. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. We have no clue until Christ opens our eyes to reveal to us who he is. We are all lowly servants. But that is our position in Christ. Why? Because Christ came and he says, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. We have to stop and look. That's why God is so amazing at how he turns everything upended from what we think. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. He looks upon us when we are serving him. And it says, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. How amazing that Mary would think ahead of this, to think that what she is doing, the greatest thing, the greatest birth ever. And she knew that all generations would call her blessed. She's taking all these things in, and she's trusting in God, what he has told her, and in his prophetic word. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has bringing life into the world. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. God is turning everything upside down. We cannot praise God with a proud heart. And I don't know about you, but God can humble you very quickly. We have to remain in a humble state. He has scattered the proud. And that's so amazing about the whole birth of Christ, that Christ was born. They didn't even have room for him. He was born in a cave. And he comes to show us, all of us, when we realize that we are broken and we should be humble before God. He has scattered the proud. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He didn't raise Christ up as a king in the castle. He brought him up from the manger to take down the kings on the thrones, that Christ will be exalted, and he exalts the lowly. We will be exalted with Christ in time when we remain humble. And it says he has filled the hungry with good things. Matthew 5, he tells us in the Beatitudes, Christ says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That means we hunger and thirst to do things God's way, to see things done God's way. They are not being done God's way. And as Christians, we should hunger and thirst for Christ to come and turn things around to be done God's way. And it says he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And I read that, and I've read that before, and to me that is such a blessing when God shows me that the riches in this world are just empty. And I don't know about you, but as I get older, God begins to show me more of those. The things that I used to hold so dear, we talked about these Christmas gifts and all these little things, they lose their light after a while. And praise God that he has given me the emptiness of the world, that I may be filled with what really matters. And that's being filled with his presence and his life. She says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Again, in remembrance of his covenant, in remembrance of his promise, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And remember, when we read in the New Testament, we are grafted in to Israel and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. We see that God is a promise keeper. Lord, remind us. Remind us today who you truly are and what you truly have done and what Christmas is all about, Lord. May we never forget. Reveal yourself to each one of us, Lord, in a powerful way to bring back that childlike awe and that childlike wonder of, Lord Jesus, who you really are. And what you have done. And we stand ready, Lord, for your return. In your precious name, in the name of Christ, we pray.